Thank you, Bill. Happy Sabbath, brethren. And happy Sabbath to all the people who are watching on over the internet. If I sound like I have sinus problems, I do. But we're going to get through this because this is very important. Spiritual self-examination is part of an ongoing relationship with God. That's said in 1 Corinthians 11, 27, and verse 28. 1 Corinthians 11, 27, verse 28. It's a part of an ongoing relationship with God. Spiritual self-examination is not a negative task. It's a positive task because self-examination shows us our need for forgiveness. It keeps us humble, and it reminds us of God's love. When we scan the inside of our minds, our attitudes, and our behavior, we discover the state of our spiritual health. And we may uncover sin that may be the cause of suffering in our life. There's a story in Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 25 to 40. You can read it later. But according to the Bible Knowledge Commentary, Jeremiah was able to remind himself and Israel that their afflictions from sin were not cruel acts of God who delighted in inflicting pain on them. Rather, the afflictions came from a compassionate God who was being faithful to his covenant. Jeremiah continued to remind Israel that God did not enjoy making them suffer, but he allowed the afflictions as a temporary means to force Judah back to him. God's affliction was designed as a corrective measure to restore his wayward people and force the people to return to the Lord. So Jeremiah ended this section by strongly encouraging the people by saying, quote, "Let us examine our ways. Let us return to the Lord." It's the Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. Brethren, the Bible encourages us to examine ourselves all year long. However, the Bible also instructs and warns us. Not only does it instruct us, but it warns us to conduct a period of self-examination as we prepare to take the New Testament Passover. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 through 6. Now, many of these scriptures we already know. Now, let's look at why Paul warned the Corinthians to examine themselves before they took the Passover. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I will start reading at verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. This is why he warned them. "Now, in giving these instructions," Paul says, "I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. verse 18. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. Verse 19. For there must also be factions among you. Now, according to the Bible Knowledge Commentary, the people in the Corinth church were divided prior to a celebration which was meant to express unity. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. You see, Paul knew that the people in the Corinthian church had been sinning, and he knew that they would not pass unnoticed at the Passover. Paul reminds the people in the Corinth church of the symptoms and consequences of their sins when he says, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 30 to 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30 to 32. You see, Paul wanted the people to repent of their sins prior to taking the New Testament Passover. And this is why he gave them the warning. Therefore, Paul says, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29. Brethren, I could be wrong, but I believe Paul wanted the people in the Corinthian church to be honest about their behavior and to thoroughly examine their behavior prior to taking the Passover. Remember, he realized that they were sinning. Had he not said anything, they would have taken the Passover in an unworthy manner. So Paul steps forward and says, hey, before you take that Passover in an unworthy manner, maybe you need to be honest and thorough and look at your behavior. The title of this message is Self-Examination Prior to the New Testament Passover. The purpose of this message today is to provide and review a handout containing questions that might help us examine our behavior to see how we stand with God prior to the Passover, and to see what behavior we might need to improve over the next 12 months. A handout was given to you as you entered the church. If anyone needs a handout, please raise your hand and the usher will give you one. Now, when you look at this handout, if you find any misspelled words or mistakes in grammar, please write them down and share them with me at your convenience. Now, let's spend the remaining time reviewing the handout and some of the questions on the handout. And to the people who are watching over the internet who do not have this handout, if you would like a copy of the handout, please email me at lincoln.marini@gmail.com. That's lincoln.marini@gmail.com. Okay, this is an impromptu message, so I have my timer. I will not go over time, I promise. So we're looking at the first page, okay? The title is Self-Examination, Questions Prior to Taking the New Testament Passover. Now, I'm not going to go over all these questions. I'm just going to go over a few. So we'll be out of here in 30 minutes. The first part I want to let you to remind you is, and what's really important, is the first paragraph. You see, to make an honest and thorough examination, people need to set aside some quiet time for reflection each day. You can't take this in one sitting. It's going to be done over maybe a couple, two, 3 days, depending on each individual's participation. Start by praying to our Father in heaven and our Lord Jesus, asking for help and making a good examination as you prepare for repentance. Read through the questions on the list and honestly reflect on your behavior for each question over the past 12 months. If necessary, take some notes to help you remember which behaviors you want to improve over the next 12 months. Now, there's many different ways of setting up this self-examination, and these are just sample questions, and these aren't all the questions, okay? But these are just the ones that God inspired me to put down on paper that might help you, and myself, of course. But I divided this into love. The first section deals with the love of God, questions to ask ourselves about loving God. And when I speak of God, I'm always referring to the Father in heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ, both of them. So the first one, and you notice I have one, and then the questions have A, B, C, D, so it'd be easier to follow. But the first one is the first commandment: you shall have no other gods before me. So let's look at question B. Have I loved someone or something more than God? Maybe over the past years it might have been money, power, sex, ambition, etc., etc., etc. Have I chosen family, friends, work habits, or things over the commands and teachings of our Father and our Lord Jesus? Okay, question D. Have I let someone or something influence my choices more than God? E. Have I identified my spiritual gifts or gifts and using it or them often? I'm going to drop down to J. Have I been involved in activities that spread the good news of the kingdom of God? Maybe you want to record on paper the activities that you do that. And then ask yourself, is this adequate or shall I do more? Spreading God's word is a sign of showing love to the Father and to Jesus. Have I been involved in planting or watering spiritual seeds? L. Have I confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord? How many times have I done it each month? Is this adequate or shall I do it more often? It's go over to the next page. Let's look at the second category. And it's really the second commandment. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. So, let's look at D. Have I sought to find identity, joy, peace, or security in something besides God? Some people might seek these items through relationships, substance, money, or entertainment. Number three, it's the one without the number. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So have I, B, carelessly used the name of God or Christ in my everyday speech? D, have I disgraced God's name by my conduct? And that's, if you go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1, you will see that. E, have I practiced religious duplicity and been a hypocrite? This is when duplicity is when I chastise someone else for doing something when I do the same thing. That's duplicity. And you'll find an example of that in Matthew chapter 23, verse 27 and 28. Have I watched television or movies or listened to music disrespecting our Father, God, or our Lord Jesus? These are the questions we want to ask, questions you might want to ask yourself in order to be honest and thorough. Number four, remember the Sabbath day. Habitually come late or leave early from Sabbath or holy day services without a good reason? I'm not saying anyone does it. It's a question to ask yourself. Have I neglected to fellowship with my brethren without a good reason? Okay, let's go down to the next main section. This is love of brethren. Now, I separated love of brethren because there are certain commands and teachings in the Bible that are specific to the brethren. So, 5a, have I prayed daily for all my brethren? Not just some of them, all of them. Have I been involved in activities that serve my brethren? Service in the church. Are you involved in any kind of service in the church or in another service capacity, serving brothers, our brethren somewhere else? C, have I been involved in activities that show mercy and compassion to my brothers? That means helping them out when they need help. You might record on paper the activities that you do and how often you do it. And then ask yourself with God, is it adequate or shall I do more? Going to page 3, I'm looking at D. Have I been involved in activities that develop close relationships with my brethren? Do I go out to dinner with them? Do I play table games? Do I do something with them that I become closer to them? Okay, let's go down to the next one, the next main topic, which is love of potential brethren and enemies. See, these are specific to loving people who aren't in the church, but they're potential brethren, and they might even be our enemy. How do I show love to them? Okay. A, have I prayed daily for all of my potential brethren and enemies? B, have I been involved in activities that show mercy and compassion to my potential brethren and enemies? How often do I do it? Can I do it more? Have I been involved in activities that spread the good news of the kingdom of God? I mean, what better love can you show to a potential brethren or even your enemy, the hope that lies within us? D, have I been involved in planting or watering spiritual seeds? E, have I confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord? God has given us truth. He has called us for a special purpose. We need to be so grateful for what we have. And what better way of showing love to a potential brethren and an enemy than to share the knowledge that we have about our Lord and our Father? Let's go to number 7. Now, these questions deal with love towards my brethren, my potential brethren, my enemies, and to self. Right? These are questions that pertain to all of them. 7, honor your father and your mother. Have I neglected to demonstrate love and respect to my parents at any time over the last 12 months? Maybe you haven't. Great. C, have I neglected the needs of my parents in their time of need or in their old age? D, have I neglected to communicate or spend time with my parents? Let's go to number 8. You shall not murder, the next commandment. And I'm going to flip over to the page because I don't want to dwell on certain items, but let's go over to J. So I'm on page 4, J. Have I been prejudiced or discriminated against others because of their race, color, nationality, sex, or religion? M, have I purposely provoked another by teasing or nagging? N, have I sought to put people down or put them in their place? O, have I been unwilling to claim responsibility for the problems I caused, or have I tried to shift the blame to others? P, do we accept our own failings and those of others, or do we criticize, condemn, and complain? U, have I been unforgiving to others when mercy or pardon was requested or required? X, have I been a hypocrite and condemn others for the things I have also done? And then 9 is committing adultery. And there's 3 questions there you might ask yourself. Then there's 10, you shall not steal. C, have you cheated on a test, taxes, sports, games, or in business? F, have I failed to give a full day's work for a full day's pay? Employees steal from their employers by doing that. Page 5. J. Have I borrowed something and not returned it? K. Have I neglected to give the proper amount of tithes and offerings to God? And then we go into 11. You shall not bear false witnesses. Another one of the commandments. Question A. Have I spoke or written malicious lies about another person in order to harm or destroy their reputation? B. Have I spoke or written deceptive lies to get myself out of trouble or to gain something I desire for myself and others? C. Have I spoke or written beneficial lies to help another person? And have I spoke or written white lies to people to be nice or to spare someone's feeling? For example, telling your mother that her meatloaf is delicious when you really hate the meatloaf. E, have I gossiped or confidentially passed on to others what has been said to me in confidence? F, have I tried to damage or destroy a person's reputation by telling others about their faults for no good reason? I, have I failed to speak out in defense of God's truth, our church, or of another person? Okay, I'm going to go to section 12. You shall not covet. Have I craved or desired far more of a person than we legitimately deserve or would be of a rightful share? In other words, have I wanted some person to spend more time with me than what's really deserving or that I deserve? Have I done that? B, have I craved or desired far more of a place than we legitimately deserve or would be our rightful share? For example, you go to the feast. I go to the feast. Based on my money, I get this room. And then it's not good enough. I see maybe some other people have better rooms. And I want their room. I lust for it. C, have I craved or desired far more of things than we legitimately deserve or would be of our rightful share? Money. I have a certain amount of money. Do I lust and crave for more? Have I envied others on account of their appearance, wealth, popularity, possessions, or persons in society? I'm going to page 6. Taking care of our wellness and health. A, have I strived to continually get evil out of my life? In the first part of this message, I explained that sometimes our health is dependent on if we're sinning or not and breaking God's laws. I'm going to go to N. Have I strived to control my cholesterol, LDL level? Is my LDL number good and under 100 or bad and over 100? If you do not know your LDL level, you need to find out. 14, continue to ensure the financial strength of my family. Have I continued to be passionate about the work I do and enjoy doing it? Have I continued to do the best I can while at work? And have I continued to improve my work skills through education? Going to page 7. G. Have I used credit cards only if they can be paid in full at the end of the month? Have I continued to save a portion of my earnings and not spend every penny I earn? Going to 15. Continue to develop a close personal relationship in my marriage. Have I continued to remind myself of the strength and power of marriage? B. Have I loved my spouse as Christ loved the church? C. Have I continued to enjoy life with my spouse? D. Have I participated in activities we both enjoy doing, or do I only care about doing activities I want to do? F. Have I demonstrated that my spouse is number one in my life? How often do I show my spouse that she's number or he is number one? Daily? Weekly? Monthly? Is this enough, or should I do it more often? Number 6, continue to become proactive in all my affairs. A, have I been lazy and slothful about anything in the last year? B, have I procrastinated because of fear, or do I rush into things without thought because I am impatient? C, have I done my share of the work in groups that I'm part of, or do I sit back and wait for someone else to volunteer? Page 8. Number 17, continue to become more positive in my thinking and speaking. Have I been pessimistic in my thinking or speaking? Have I participated, this is B, in negative thinking or speaking? C, have I dwelled on the dark side of things? Brethren, these are just sample questions. You could find them on the internet. I put it together because I love you, and I want everyone to take the Passover in a worthy manner. And so I thought that maybe this would be a help to us. I know it's going to be a help to me because I can't remember all the things that I do wrong over the course of the year. There's so many of them. Okay, our time is just about up. So let's conclude, brethren. Let's conclude with this last thought. Brethren, we must never underestimate the 4 positive benefits of an honest and thorough examination of our behavior prior to taking the Passover and any time. There are 4 positive benefits of taking an honest and thorough self-examination. The first, it keeps us humble because we remind ourselves that we are not close to being perfect and that we have all sinned and we come short of the glory of our Father and our Lord Jesus. Romans 3, verse 23. Second, it helps us understand the great depth of God's grace and love for us, because if we confess our sins, all of our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Third benefit, it gives us a list of behaviors to work on and improve as we continue to strive to be perfect, as our Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5, verse 48. You know, I could be wrong, brethren, but I don't think our Father and our Lord Jesus want us to identify our sins, confess them, and not become better. That's why Jesus tells us to become perfect. We need to continually change for the good. Fourth, the fourth benefit, it allows us to take the Passover in a worthy manner. These are four great benefits of taking a self-examination anytime through the year. Prior to Passover, let's use the questions on this handout to examine our behavior honestly and thoroughly. Let's repent of any past sins. Let's record the behaviors we want to improve over the next 12 months. And let's take the Passover in a worthy manner. He who has ears, let him hear.